Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bitchin'. Every week we talk about a different person. We try to be nice. Them.
We don't try to be nice.
We
try not to get cancelled. It's a different thing.
It's more about the complexities of human nature.
Oh my God, that's so good. We need to put that in the intro every week.
Stop it.
No, I love that.
It is, though.
It is. It's more about our shadow selves and our ego.
Yeah, it's about
and
us,
all
really.
That kind of intellectual stuff. And nonsense. Then I call some people nonces. and we think about people. We know you listen, but also don't dob us in.
Don't dob us in.
Because most people don't know about this show, and that's actually quite comfortable in lots of ways.
When we become big deals, they're going to scroll back through and quote us in the sun.
And completely, we're over. It's game over.
I said some bad stuff on this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
How are you?
I'm good. 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 You went to LA?
I did go to LA. It was crazy.
Was it?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like the movies.
Like the movies. I saw the Hollywood sign. No, it was great. I had a great time. Met some lovely people and made a little bit of money and came home. Unless HMRC is listening to this and then I have no money whatsoever.
So Tilly was at a Doctor Who convention.
I was, called Gallifrey One, and it's the biggest Doctor Who convention in the world. How are you? What's going on? The show?
I'm good.
Uh-huh. But how are you really?
No, I am good actually.
How long is the show on till?
The end of April.
It's defo going to get extended, isn't it?
It can't because
really?
There is a show coming into the theatre.
I bet it goes somewhere else.
Straight away after.
Are you selling really well? I bet you are.
Yeah, we're selling out. Yeah.
Those reviews, man. Those reviews.
Wow, what can I say? It's all down
charming
to me.
Helen Monks.
Stop.
What did The Guardian call you? You know,
I actually don't. I was about to say superb, but that's not correct.
I feel like it might be.
No, it's not.
It's some kind of superlative that
it's a good
does
word.
Capture your essence as a performer.
Magnificent.
Magnificent.
It's not that.
I can't wait to see it.
I love getting home late, eating a whole pizza in bed at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Watching Frankie Boyle's travel doc, which...
I love Frankie Boyle so
much.
Oh,
God. Now, talk about people I want to...
Fuck! I would love to have sex with Frankie Boyle. Finally, we've got a crossover guy. Oh, my God.
I think that's the first time
ever. That's the first time we've both fancied the same person. Oh, my God.
Do you watch his Instagram ITVG videos?
Oh, my God. Does he do Instagram stories?
Stop. He does Instagram TV, and it's just him very close to the camera.
Yeah, like, fuck me up.
Yeah,
oh
honestly,
my God.
Get on it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He just chats about stuff, and it's not like stand-up. It's very casual, and you feel like you're just in bed with him. It's so good.
I'm into it. I've actually got to go.
Okay. Leave.
No, I'm joking. As in, I've got to go and watch Frankie Boyle in the toilet. Okay. Well, we've explained what the show is, but who are we doing today?
Today we're doing Pope Francis.
Or as I know him, the Pope, because I haven't done that much research.
So, full disclosure, I'm Catholic.
Yeah, I did know this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Catholic, and I don't know much about Catholicism, but I do share the same sexual guilt, so in a lot of ways.
Oh, we're the same.
I feel similar.
I mean, I say I'm Catholic. I don't think Catholics would agree that I'm Catholic.
Why not? Have you been confirmed? That's the thing, right?
So, my mum decided that we didn't need to do it officially, so I just went and ate the baby Jesus during, I think it was my granddad's funeral, actually. She just shoved me up to the front of the bit, and I ate the bread. You never chewed a baby Jesus. Is what my grandma used to say. She wasn't Irish, but she always did it in an Irish accent. So you just let it sit on your tongue and melt. It's a bit gross. So yeah, so I've drunk the blood, eaten the body of Christ. But I don't have a Catholic name. I'm a bit sad about it, really.
Should we give you one right now?
Oh, yes.
So what is a Catholic name? Is it just a...
You have to pick a lady saint.
A lady saint. Get up the lady saints right now. We're going to choose one for you.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to confirm you right now in this holy square.
I think I know who I want to be.
Do you?
Yeah. Can I be the patron saint of lost and found?
Oh. Is that because you found me?
It's because I always lose my keys. But yeah, also because of you. Mm. Oh, that's St. Anthony. I can't be him. Mm. Can I be St. Anthony?
Do you want to be?
Yeah. Look at him. Look at his little head.
Show me. Is he hot? St. Anthony looks like he lives in Dalston. He literally has the same haircut of every tattoo artist / graffiti artist who lives in Dalston.
And the same sort of face shape, doesn't he? Yeah. A very modern man. And he's wearing a hoodie.
Actually, kind of looks a bit like Josh Farnan.
Oh, yeah, he does a bit. Shall I tell you about him?
Yeah.
Perfect imitator of Jesus, who received from God the special power.
Yeah, you haven't got a God complex at all.
He received from God the special power of restoring lost things. So that's it. I just remembered me and my mum would always pray to St. Anthony whenever I lost anything, which was every day. Makes it sound a bit loopy-loo. She did it in an ironic way, sort of.
Was your mum nice to you when you lost things?
She was the best. My mum had a really close relationship with the receptionist at my school, because at least 3 times a week I would forget to bring my packed lunch in. So my mum would walk into school about 10 minutes
after
me.
You'd bring your guinea pig in instead.
She'd walk into school about 10 minutes after me and then have a nice chat with the receptionist she got close with.
What? Yeah. Who would my saint be? Is there a patron saint of depression?
Oh, there probably is, actually.
I'd like to be the patron saint of the... eccentrics.
Yeah, Dimpfner.
Dimpf?
The patron saint of dependent runaways, the nervous, the emotionally disturbed, the mentally ill, and those who suffer neurological disorders. And consequently, of psychologists, psychiatrists, and neurologists. We all know I can't read. Look how gorgeous she is. She's hot.
Wow, thank you so much. Oh, yeah, no, I can't do that. She looks like a Florence Nightingale type. I don't want to look after the mentally disturbed. I am the mentally disturbed.
But she'll look after you, Dimpfner.
Oh, that's nice. Dimpfner.
She's got a 4-thingied clover. What are they called?
Oh, all right. I didn't know where that sentence was going. Fucking hell.
So anyway, that's not who we're doing. We're doing
Pope Francis.
Here's his Wikipedia. Born Jorg Mario Bergoglio, 17th of December 1936.
He's old.
He's the head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City State.
Have you ever been to the Vatican?
Yeah, went to see Pope Francis.
Oh, really? I haven't been. I mean, why would I go? When did you go? Why did you go?
Last year, I went with Mary.
Yes, your friend Mary.
The Mother Mary.
Yeah. Is she Catholic?
No.
Okay.
We just went on holiday to Rome together.
Nice.
And then I insisted we went to see the Pope.
Have we never gone on holiday? What's that about?
And then I insisted we went to see the Pope. It was so amazing. He's so gorgeous.
What?
Pope Francis. No, I know. We're going to disagree about this one.
What?
You hate him, don't you? I'm a big fan.
Oh, for God's sake. What do you mean he's gorgeous?
He's hot. Look at his
I think this is just your Catholic.
No, I'm a big fan. No, I know there's loads of really problematic things, but so this is my argument.
Okay.
Within the context of Catholicism, he is the most forward-thinking, progressive. He's the most hated pope there's ever been. And I think it's really easy. If we were to put him in the context of our world and our liberal world, then he would be not great. Mm. But within the context of that world, the only way Catholicism's going to change for the better is from the inside.
Okay.
And not people like us just saying it should be cancelled, which, I mean, maybe it should.
I'm not saying he should be cancelled. I mean, you know, he's done more within the Catholic Church to... he's done more within Catholicism to stop the abuse of children than any pope before. Of course, that's saying... absolutely fucking nothing, because none of them have ever done anything. Yeah. So
it's kind of easy to be
come
in and be like, oh guys, that was a bad thing that we did.
I think we should be slightly less nice to all the paedophiles, actually. I don't think they deserve it, actually. I don't know why I've decided the Pope is...
Cockney.
That would be funny. Does the Pope always have to be Italian?
He's from Argentina, this guy.
Oh, right.
He's the first non-European Pope in 1,000 years.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, again, a really politically amazing thing that
everyone
in Argentina was... Not everyone, but all the Catholics in Argentina were like, whoa, throwing the knickers at him.
Yeah.
Loving him. Have you seen Two Popes, One Cup?
No. Is that just you're talking about the show with...
Two Popes on Netflix, which I thought was going to be really dull.
Yeah.
And it is the most magnificent thing. It's so good.
Is it?
You're looking really unsure.
No, Josh watched it and said it was good. The only bit I saw was What's-His-Face getting into a helicopter.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. Who's the other guy in it?
I know who he is. I know. I feel so bad because I do this all the time.
No, like, because I know who the actor is.
They're both extraordinary in that film.
Sick. They're sick actors.
Oh, my God, they're such good actors. It is Jonathan Pryce.
So Jonathan Pryce, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast before, there is an amazing video of when Martin McCutcheon...
What?
...won the Olivier Award, being in My Fair Lady, and she famously was like a total nightmare to work with. And they hated each other. They hated... Because he played What's-His-Face...
The other one.
The misogynist, and she was the lead. And there is a video. So when she wins, the camera cuts to him, and you have never seen such an expression of disdain ever.
I need to watch it.
Ever, ever, ever. I've got it somewhere. I'll send it to you. But, oh, my God, it's so funny. And it's really awkward as well because she's won this award. She only did, like, 10 or 20 shows or something like that.
What?
And then the understudy was on because she had a lot of vocal problems and stuff. And I'm sure she had a lot going on. I don't know her, you know, well enough to know. Or at all. In fact, I don't know. Martin, if you're listening, I'm sure there were reasons for, you know, your difficulties on that job.
And thank you for that album. This is my moment.
This is my perfect moment with you.
Started too low. Anyway, so he looks at her with disdain.
I mean, it's not really enough to call it that. It's an expression that I don't know that I'll ever be a good enough actor to actually replicate.
Give it a go.
I can't even come close to it because it's the absence of feeling, but also complete hatred. No, there's no clapping. He doesn't clap. He doesn't clap.
He just sits there like this.
No, that's not it. I'll show you. Oh, mate.
I want to be good at acting. Wait. That?
Closer, but it doesn't quite... You're doing too much, that's the thing.
Okay, wait.
He's not doing anything, and yet it says it all. But her speech is really awkward because it's like she knows that she didn't really do it.
Oh, it's really sad. I know. That's like my biggest fear in the world.
Yeah.
Is getting something and people feeling like I don't deserve it.
I mean, that's how you feel about every job you get anyway. So you're already doing it to yourself.
Just
maybe stop doing it to yourself and it'll be less of your fear.
I have Anthony Hopkins' face just in my head all the time. That's my inner monologue, just looking at me in disdain. So, Two Popes. You should go and just stop listening to this and watch that if you want to know about his history of becoming the Pope, which sounds really boring, but it's just so beautifully... And it's all shot with intersecting real footage. It's just...
So Anthony Hopkins plays the old Pope who didn't like doing anything good. And Jonathan Pryce plays the new Pope who likes doing some things good.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all about their relationship really with each other, which is just...
Do they fuck?
Oh my God, have you seen it?
No. Is there loads of sexual tension between them?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Now I'm going to watch it. It's gay, you say. I've got to go. Yeah. There's something gay that I haven't watched. I'm going to go.
Yeah, no, it's really beautiful. And it ends with the two popes watching football together on the TV. And then it cuts to the real two popes watching football together. Because the current pope is a big old football fan.
Mm.
Has lots of football T-shirts.
So is it all about being friends with people, even though you might not get on, to get a job?
No, actually.
Okay. I was about to say, in that way, I'm very similar to the Pope.
Pope, the other previous Pope, what's his name? Benedict.
Mm.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Steps aside for...
Benedict Cumberbatch. God, he plays everything nowadays.
He sort of doesn't agree with Pope Francis and his weird liberal progressive views, but sort of comes to understand it and be tolerant of it. And I think it's about, because this is something I realised about the Pope and the Catholic Church in general, is that I'm really liberal and tolerant of everybody unless they don't share my view on something, and then I become really intolerant.
I don't think that's true.
Well, it's not anymore, but it used to be.
Yeah.
And about religion, it used to be.
But isn't that, I think that's part of being young, is like having a really didactic kind of view of the world, and it's black and white, and it's exactly like this, because I'm 20 and I know how I feel about this and I'm passionate about it. And like, I think a lot of like the criticism of, I just think sometimes people are unkind to the younger versions of
themselves,
you know, like, I don't think it's like, I get it, but I also, I have gone through a similar thing of like, I used to just be like, oh, why would you be religious? And now I'm like, maybe angels are real.
Oh my God, maybe they are.
You know?
But also something I have learned in the last couple of years is that, and this is really dumb that I didn't realise this, but in terms of like protected identities, you've got loads within our culture. And one of them is religion. And actually, I realise there's this mass intolerance of liberal people towards religious people.
Yeah, completely.
That I've never given the time of day, really, because I always think, yeah, but religious people hate gays, so we shouldn't. And actually, LGBT rights are a protected characteristic, but so are religious rights, and they are equally protected. Mm-hmm. So then it's a really complicated Venn diagram, isn't it? Which is why I really like Pope Francis, because he has really pushed the Catholic Church to be less homophobic. Mm. And I don't know how successful it's been, but his first ever kind of appearance, I've got a quote. He said, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill,
fantastic,
who am I to judge? Which, again, within our context, is still really homophobic and also is pushing his kind of religious agenda.
But if you're gay, that's kind of okay. As long as you think about it for the rest of your life.
He's also, it's a similar thing with abortion, where he's now made it. There was this short period of time where he said, within this period, we can forgive people who've had abortions.
And everyone's running to the fucking abortion
please,
clinic.
Please, do it now.
The Pope says it's okay, get it out!
Well, no, he says it's okay to retrospectively forgive people for it. But he now says that he's extended that so we can now all be forgiven at any point if we've had an abortion.
Oh, thank God.
I know, which again is really, really hard to reconcile, because you're like, well, shouldn't it just be fine? But for where the Catholic Church was when he became Pope, the step forward is massive.
And also, we can't really necessarily understand that. I mean, I know you are Catholic, but also your mum is like the most forgiving person on earth.
Yeah.
But like, so many people like do genuinely have a lot of psychological hang-ups because of the way that they were brought up, and like genuinely like fearing being sent to hell if they touch themselves or whatever. Like, so it probably is a really good thing that this guy is now like, hey, you can forgive yourselves. Like, that probably is like a source of comfort to some people.
You're so right. Who are never going to believe that it's okay that they've done that. But also, I didn't. So the theology of Catholicism is that you believe there are a permanent set of rules that have always existed and will always exist, and that's how people find comfort in it, is that like the world makes sense because there are these rules. So to then adapt them to modern society, like we should be doing, and a lot of Catholic priests believe that we should be doing, but within the Vatican City, where everybody's really like,
are they sucking each other's dicks?
Yeah,
hope so.
I hope so. Wouldn't that be great? But I kind of also don't, because then
should I write a show about, like, no, I shouldn't. Go on.
Why not? Why not?
You can play Pope.
I'd love that. Please. Up until really recently, I thought that they still got their balls cupped when they became Pope.
What?
So, I don't know if I've... So you know, there's the Pope Joan, who was the female Pope, but it's now not sure whether or not this is actually true.
There's never been a female Pope.
Well.
Right, go on.
There is the, and I don't know how much this is a myth and how much this is based in fact, but there is this story of Pope Joan, who was, I mean, now in retrospect, probably a trans man.
Right.
But it was a person who biologically was a woman who dressed as a man, and managed to work their way up and became the Pope. Mm. And then the story is...
Work their way up. Like, it's fucking...
You have to
started out making the tea and then you end up being the fucking second coming of the Lord on earth. Great.
And then something happened where she was pregnant and didn't realise, and then she gave birth during some parade and then everyone stoned her to death because this baby came out of her and they thought she was the devil. Anyway, and then as a result, when the Pope becomes the Pope, they have to sit on this commode and people go underneath and have a look at their old bally boos to make sure they're a man. But apparently that's not true. But it's this widely believed thing within... I thought it was true until about 6 months ago and I actually Googled it.
Can I tell you one of the things that they do do?
Do-do. Yes, please.
In recent centuries, when a pope was judged to have died... Weird sentence. It was reportedly traditional for the Cardinal Camerlengo...
Classic.
...to confirm the death ceremonially by gently tapping the Pope's head thrice with a silver hammer, calling his birth name each time. This was not done on the deaths of Popes John Paul and John Paul II. The Cardinal Camerlengo retrieves the ring of the fisherman.
Sorry?
Look, I'm confused. And cuts it in two in the presence of the cardinals. The Pope's seals are defaced to keep them from ever being used again, and his personal apartment is sealed. What a mood.
It's so weird, isn't it, all the ritualistic...
Gently tapping the Pope's head thrice with a silver hammer, calling his birth name each time.
Also, do they keep the same silver hammer? Like, what's going on?
I don't
know.
And, like, does everyone... Does each Pope get a ring of the fisherman? What does that mean?
What is a ring of the fisherman?
I don't know.
Sounds great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think the main uncomfortability, if that is a word, and I've decided it is, with the Pope, is that it's not the religious side of things so much now. I think that's great if it brings comfort to people, if it helps people understand their own worlds. I think that's awesome. But I feel like, I mean, organized religion in general has had so many problems with abuse and...
Yeah.
Powerful men being allowed to do what they want under the guise of being holy.
Yeah.
And we're not holy. We're all human and we're all capable of doing bad shit. Not fucking kids. All of us aren't capable of that. But in general, I think it's a really bad idea to be like, this is the best guy. This is the best one. Look at him go. I just think it's a really, it's just not a good way of organising things.
I think this is why I'm a fangirl in Pope Francis, because I completely agree. What I think he does is he takes the responsibility of that, and what that figure should be, and isn't because of the way that human beings are, is it should be actually a servant to everybody.
Yeah.
A bit like politicians should be servants to their people, and they're not. They're people in power and they use their power for bad. Mm. And that's always the truth with any kind of organised community, isn't it, where you create these structures and then actually people in those positions end up abusing them, both in terms of like the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, but you're right, just in terms of generally people having power.
Because it's human nature, because we don't want to step into our own power as human beings. It's easier for us to go, I'll pray to God and he'll sort it out.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And, like, I hope he or she or they do. But at the same time, you're here and you can, I'm not saying, what I'm saying is not God helps those who help themselves. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I feel like the esteem we put on our heroes is sometimes because we're running away from putting that esteem on ourselves.
Yeah.
Or it has been for me in the past anyway.
Yeah, totally.
And like I have people who are my heroes and like I think that's nice and lovely, but...
Yeah, but they're not your heroes because you've been told by the church that they're the person who's nearest to God and you must, you know, worship them and pray to them and stuff and they're going to sort it all out.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a weird concept, isn't it, now you put it like that. Oh, but he's great.
Yeah.
I remember asking my mum when I was younger if she actually genuinely believed in God. And she was like, I believe in a God between people. And I think it's like what you're saying where...
Oh, Jenny.
I know, she's the best. But you shouldn't be creating these structures where there's someone closer to God and it's all, you know, theoretical. But actually it is about being on the ground and looking after the people who are next door to you and around you. You know, the way to change the world massively is to change the little world that you're in. But that, again, this is what I really like about him is he doesn't, when he first moved in, he lives in the guest house. He doesn't live in the main popey big bed. And he does a lot of like kissing people's feet.
I mean, I guess a lot of people died in there.
Scared of ghosts. All those saints coming back to haunt him.
Creepy.
But also I do think there is just something naturally in us where we want to idealize people. We want to have these representations of the best of humanity.
Yeah.
And we do it all the time. I do it all the time where I just completely...
It's a part of myth making and it's a part of like how we tell stories, I think. And it isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it can be.
It definitely can. And the structures of the church are messed up. And like the fact that there's just all these things that are there forever. And the argument is, well, it's because nothing can change because these are the fundamental truths of life. Mm. It's just, I think, really misguided. But it's hard to argue with because if you really
believe... They've all just got such pretty robes on. Oh, and you're like, do you know what?
They're so holy.
Seems cool.
Yeah.
Seems cool and holy to me.
What are you thinking about the nuns? How do you feel about nuns?
Did you see Dracula?
No.
The lead in Dracula is like this badass nun.
Wait, which version of Dracula?
The most recent one, Stephen Moffat one.
Ah. And
when I watched that, I was like, nuns have been underused as badass fucking leads who are actually
pretty cool.
Badass. I was in a play about nuns.
Yes, you were. Heresy
directed by your mum at drama school, starring The Crown's Erin Doherty.
You were really good in that play.
Thank you.
You're really fantastic. Mm. It was a good play.
I haven't got Erin's career though, have I?
None of us have, mate. None of us have.
No, good for her. Good for her.
Do you know what though? We shouldn't give all credit to nuns because some of nuns have done some very bad things.
Oh yeah, they
buried those babies.
Yeah.
And...
Oh yeah. I mean, and abused kids as well. Well, this is another thing. It's like we're all like, oh, the priests, they're the ones fucking the kids, and nuns are fucking the kids too, man. Women, we can be just as evil. We're just evil in different ways that we don't necessarily recognise as evil.
Would you ever become a nun?
Yeah, I thought about it, actually.
My friend worked
I think what I really want is to have a house and an allotment and for everyone to leave me alone.
Oh, my God, you should become a nun.
Yeah, but I don't want to wear the same thing every day.
Did you ever watch... My friend worked on this TV programme called Bad Habits, Nuns and Holy Orders or something. And the title, Bad Habits, was supposed to be a pun on the fact that nuns wear habits, but they were worried people might not get it because it was on Channel 5, so they put in the little... colon. And it was these naughty young ladies went to live with all these nuns.
Oh, I do remember this show.
Yeah, I never actually watched it, but I might.
Maybe we should track it down on YouTube.
It looked very sweet, nuns telling the ladies, you know. Ooh.
I mean, I think there's a massive amount to be found in living your life in that kind of simple way. But I do love chaos, so.
The thing I like about it is the concept of it being completely immaterial, so you only have a certain amount that you have a week to live on, and you don't buy yourself an iPad. But then
I mean, you do that anyway. You just put all of your money into the local theatre company,
and don't eat my breakfast.
Yeah, and say no when I offer to buy you a croissant.
Oh, no, that was very kind of you.
You'll never let me buy you anything, will you?
No, no. You bought me lunch that time. It was very expensive.
Oh, yeah, but then you took me for tapas and that was very expensive.
No, not as expensive.
No, it was. You've been listening to Bitchin'. It's a show where me and Helen argue about who paid more for lunch. And then we don't talk for 2 weeks and then we see each other again and we do the same thing all over again.
Oh, Popey boy.
Popey. Well, look, I don't know. I don't have any judgment to make and that's fine. And I'm not Catholic, so I don't feel like I can.
It's no, neither am I, really. I don't know why I'm acting like I am. I just, I think there's pros and cons, innit? Mm. And I hope he continues to...
I do think it's all cool. All the rituals and stuff are fucking cool. I'd love to play something in a church and be with all the fucking gold and all the robes and the fucking altars and shit.
They don't let women in, though, do they? That's well annoying. He did try. What did he do? So he said Christians owe apologies to gay people who've been offended and exploited by the church, which some Catholics were like, that's bad. And some Catholics were like, that's a good breakthrough.
Mm.
And then he said that women should be able to be ordained. And everyone, yeah, was like, no.
Should I find that video of Martin McCutcheon winning the Olivier Award?
Definitely.
Great.
So apparently... Catholics think that the death penalty is a good thing. The Pope said the death penalty is inadmissible and that official Catholic teaching should reflect that, which again should be kind of a given, but it's interesting how. I remember being taught in RE that if there's something the Catholic kind of ethos is no, so should we do this? No. Should we do this? No. But death penalty, yeah.
Well, like, is it even... I mean, I'd be interested to, like, actually research this and actually learn about it. You know, is it one of those things where it's, like, the meanings have become warped over time and actually, in the first place, it was all about forgiveness and, like, we shouldn't kill people, actually. That's...
Yeah.
That's bad, actually.
I don't know. I've not read enough of the Bible to know whether it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it does say, thou shalt not kill, but it also... There's a burning bush, mate.
Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Unless
they've done something.
No one put me in charge. I'm going to say this right now. No one ever put me in charge of anything ever. Please. Please.
I can't wait for coronavirus to kill everybody but you. And you just have to...
I'll go mad. I will go mad. I don't want to be that. I'll go mad.
I have a real survival instinct in me. I would, because you know how everyone's like, oh, if there was a big nuclear war, I wouldn't want to survive without all my friends. I'm like, no, I'd want to be here on my own, miserable, but clinging onto a rock.
Yeah.
Like, no, death.
Matt's completely abandoned you. I think we've said this on another episode. Yeah.
Matt's definitely, you were like, he'd just find some kind of unicorn and eat its blood. He would survive a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if I would. I probably wouldn't.
Something might kick in and you suddenly just like... I think our survival instinct is strong. We always think that it isn't. We think, oh, that would be nice to slip away. But actually,
how are you inside my head right now? What the fuck?
But then when it comes to it, I think you'd probably want to hang around.
Yeah. See if it gets any better.
Yeah.
Also, there's something in the like... I think I have said this on an earlier episode, something about the community aspect of a nuclear holocaust that really appeals to me. You know, we could find an abandoned farm together. I know you don't want to go on holiday with me, but it would kind of be like a holiday. We could start planting tomatoes.
Just become a nun, mate. Just become a nun.
I know, but what if the other nuns aren't fun?
They are.
Are they fun?
I don't know. My nuns that I used to hang out with when I went to, my grandma used to run a jumble sale and with all these nuns and they were loads of fun.
Can't wait for your memoirs. I can't wait to read your memoirs. Why? And for there to just be loads more fucking insane anecdotes that I've never heard of. And for me to not even get a mention.
I can't wait either.
Well, okay. I think that's it, really.
That's it. We love you.
We love you so much. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.
We're going to watch Jonathan Pryce and his face right now.
You should too. And you should also go watch Two Pups.
Two Pups.
Go watch Two Pups. And also Two Popes.
Bye.
You've been listening to Bitchin', a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music was by Dave Cribb and our artwork was by Luke W. Robinson.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.